You ready?
All right. Praise the Lord on this beautiful Lord's Day Sunday morning. I don't know about everybody else, but I kind of wish they'd lay off that global warming. I'm about to freeze to death. I'm ready for some warmer weather, amen. I'm getting up every morning, putting a jacket on. Man, I'm running the heater when I go to town or go to church or whatever. And they're talking about global warming this, global warming that. I wish they'd just leave the thing alone, amen. I know the Lord said He'd give us desire of our heart, but I'd just soon get a summer here and get it over with, amen.
That's right.
We'll go to God in prayer. We'll be teaching today out of Revelation chapter 16, and it will be a terrible chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do our best to put it in perspective for the hour we're living in. Our Father, we thank You for the incorruptible, infallible, Lord, eternal Word of God. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, in this day and hour we're living in to have it, Lord, that we might give the most earnest heed to it. Lord, that we might be able to apply it to our lives.
Yes, Lord.
And to the times that we're living in, we might be able to redeem the days because they're evil. And Lord, just pray You bless our efforts today. Thank You, Lord, for the new seats we got for the church, Lord, a whole lot more comfortable and a whole lot more seating capacity. We're just so thankful. Thank You for all those, Lord, that contributed, and all those, Lord, that participated in the work, Lord, to get all this done. We're just so thankful. I ask You to bless, Lord, our service today, and bless this Sunday school lesson today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Before I read anything in this chapter, I want to back up real quick, because it'd be different if these were just words. But these aren't just words, they're warnings. And in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 19, God says that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. And we got a whole lot more to do with the Bible than any of us will ever understand. In verse 20, God's still doing the speaking. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty? That's the word I was looking for. What we're going to be teaching about today in Revelation chapter 16 is certain. It's coming. It's not just words. And the Lord said, the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. You know, people are going to ask you a lot of questions, and you need to answer them in the right way. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 18, talks about that by two immutable things, that means unchangeable, in which it was impossible for God to lie.
Right.
Jesus said in John, John chapter 8, that the devil was a liar and the father of it. Mm-hmm. But God, it's impossible for God to lie. And in Titus chapter 1 verse 2, it says, God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So in this chapter, these are some things that I wish they wasn't true, but they are. And they're coming upon this world. I'm glad I'm not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll explain that in this chapter. And those that are going to be here, they're not going to get out of it. I want you to know, buddy, this thing's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming upon them. It's going to take its toll on those that aren't in heaven. And this is talking about the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. In other words, God's had enough of the ways of man. The same God that sent the flood in Noah's day and took them all away, He's sending this wrath upon people that deserve it and then some. Here's some of the kind of things that God has had to put up with. That defund the police effort being made by political idiots. The murder rate in Portland is up to 1,900% right now.
Wow.
That's over 100%. You know, I thank God for the police. I get in trouble, somebody breaking in my house, I'm going to call the law. I'm going to hope they do their job. If they don't, I'm going to help them. Turn the dogs loose. Put another shell in the gun. But you know, we had a law and order president. They hated him.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want law and order.
That's right.
And I don't know about everybody else, but I kind of miss him. I kind of liked having peace in the streets of America. I kind of liked having, you know, recognizing our veterans and recognizing our police. And I know these are lawless days. I understand that. The Bible talks about in the last days that it will be lawlessness. Well, let's get on the Sunday school lesson here. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. John's writing. And John said, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, Jehovah Witness, they want to live here on the earth forever. I don't want to be here when these vials are poured out. They can have it. You know, you can think whatever you want to. You can believe whatever you want to. But when I read scripture like 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. I don't want to be here when that's going on.
Right.
No.
Talking about the heavens being on fire. Verse 2. And the first, talking about these seven angels, the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. I don't have it. I'm not going to have it.
No. Mm-hmm.
And upon them which worshipped his image. You say, I'll never do that. Well, if you're in a tribulation, you might. Mm-hmm. You just don't understand what God's warning people of. He's saying, don't be here when this takes place. This is a stern warning from God. This angel pours out this vial, and there comes a noisome a grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast. In an Exodus, when God is showing Egypt that He's God, and He's showing Pharaoh that He's God, in Exodus chapter 9, I'm not going to turn there, but God sent hail mingled with fire upon the earth. In Exodus 9 verse 6, He sent a moran. I'm not sure what that is, but it killed all the cattle. But God sent these judgments upon Egypt so that Egypt would understand that Pharaoh was not a god. And God's going to show Himself to be God in these judgments here. And this first vial is going to be upon men. And you know, upon all the inhabitants upon the earth, there's going to be a noisome and grievous sore fall upon them. Mm-hmm. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial. I want to mention this. Did you notice these angels are men? We got gender confusion today. But I am glad that it said this angel poured out his vial upon the earth. That Cody, trying to remember her name, Cody Bush, I believe, trying to bypass a noun and trying to speak about women. She said, you know, birther people. And we've got gender confusion, but not in the Bible. And this angel is a man, and he pours out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. In Exodus chapter 7, Aaron and Moses did the same thing. And I do want to turn to that real quick. One reason I do is because it said, and it stank. in Exodus chapter number 7, God said that when he does this, he said in verse 18 that the fish in the river shall die and the river shall stink. So that's a warning.
That's right.
And then you get down here in verse number 20, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. He lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank.
Yeah.
You might want to also notice, because we got science today, everybody wants to go with science, and you might want to notice verse 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. So I want you to realize there was a lot of science opposing God, and that will go for a little while, and in a minute we'll mention here that science couldn't go no further, and they said this is nothing less than the finger of God. It didn't change nothing, but they did admit that it was God bringing judgment upon Egypt. when this second angel pours out his vial upon the sea, two-thirds of this earth is water. And it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. The smell of that, they're going to have to endure not only this grievous sore, they're going to endure the smell. And verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because Thou hast judged us, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. Three vials have been poured out, and the world doesn't have an exit. It's not like they can say, I've had enough, can't raise a white flag, you say, I surrender. It don't work.
No.
You don't want to be here when this judgment's coming upon the earth. Like I said, it's certain. It's going to happen. I don't want to be here myself. Verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. My pastor said he likes his devils well done. And you know, these men are going to be rained on, not just with sores and noise, some grievous things, but they're going to be literally cooked.
Yeah.
By the heat and the power of the sun. You know, when God said, let there be light, Sister Vonnie, if it was further away, we'd freeze to death.
Right.
If it was closer, we'd be burned up.
Yeah.
And he put it right where it needed to be, where we got light and we got warmth,
yeah.
Not too much. But this episode here, the sun's going to have the power to scorch men with fire. I watched that movie the other day, The Good, Bad, and Ugly, and that old guy had old Clint Eastwood out there, and his lips all blistered, and his face all blistered. He's out there in the desert, and you know, that's just a movie, but this won't be a movie. This will be reality. And it said, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. In other words, they said, we don't care, we're still not going to repent. And they're blaming God.
Yeah.
They're cursing, and they're saying, I thought you was a God of love. He is. He gave his son.
That's right.
And they put his son through hell, and his son took every bit of it. And his son gave his life for you, that you could be spared. If you're in this predicament right here, it's your own fault. And you're not going to have anyone to blame. It's your fault. if you're here when all this takes place. But they're going to blame God. They're going to say, I thought you was a God of love. If you love me, why am I in this predicament? Your own doing. God's giving you warning right here. And I'll tell you what, you don't want to be here when this is taking place. And if you are here, it's your own fault. Four vows, men are cursing God and blaming God. And they're still not repenting. Verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. The devil is the prince of darkness, and everything about the devil is dark. And you know, God is he's got the Shekinah glory. He's about light. God is light in him, no darkness at all. But this darkness, they gnawed their tongues for pain. That's a lot of pain. One of the judgments that God gave in Egypt, it's mentioned in Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. God sent a darkness that it said it could be felt. Nobody even moved. It was such a darkness. I was in a cave one time, and we'd skipped school. It was many days ago, Sonny. I was just a kid back then. We skipped school, and I took the headlight off my motorcycle, and I took the battery out of my motorcycle because we was poor. That way we would have enough light to go through this cave at Salt Peter's Cave where we was at. We was way back there in the back of that thing, that light bulb burned out. We had to feel our way out of that cave. I'll tell you what, we had to learn the hard way. But it's something not to have any light. I mean, we didn't have a match. We didn't have nothing. We literally felt our way out of that cave. What a darkness that was. But it's not just going to be darkness. It's going to be pain. And men are going to gnaw their tongues for pain. My granddaughter's graduation was yesterday, and her father didn't show up. And the reason he said he didn't show up, he said he bit his tongue in his sleep. And he said it was hurting him. Well, this will be a whole lot worse than biting your tongue in your sleep. You're going to bite your tongue because you can't bear the pain you're enduring. Verse 11 said, not only did they gnaw their tongues for pain, but they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. You know, we've got pills today that'll kind of take away pain. They've got all kind of pain pills. Got morphine. They can put you to sleep and things like that, but they're not going to be no relief in this judgment. And not only are they going to curse and blame God, but their pains and their sores is going to be more than they can bear. And they're still not going to repent of their deeds. You know, I thank God because the Bible said the goodness of the Lord causes men to repent. And I did repent after I realized how good God had been to me.
That's right.
And how sinful I was. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I did repent. 33 years ago I repented of the wicked sinner that I was. And I welcomed Jesus into my heart. Mm-hmm. And He came in, took His rightful place. And He's been on the throne of my heart now for 33 years. And if He be willing, if I could live long enough, He could have another 33 years if I could live that long. I'm like, Brother Ed, I don't think this thing's going much further.
No.
I do believe this year the Lord's coming for the church, and I hope He does. When we get to the end of the book of Revelation, it says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. John sees all the things coming upon this earth. He's wanting to get out himself, even though he's on the Isle of Patmos. Five vials have been poured out, and men still have not repented.
Right. Brother Eddie, they are still playing the blame game.
Yeah.
Blaming God for everything.
Yes.
And, you know, God, He is love. But
yeah,
there comes a point, like we're in it right here in Revelation, that He's had enough.
Yeah.
Had enough.
Yeah, God has put up. I was telling Brother Donnie on the way over here, about God winking at the sins of men in Acts chapter number 17, verse number 30.
Yes.
And God is gracious. But it says in Acts 17, verse 30, at the times of this ignorance, you know, men, they know somewhat of God, but they don't like to acknowledge Him as God. They try to deny Him. They just want just enough knowledge of God to say, yeah, I know Him, I know all that. But at the times of this ignorance, it says God winked it, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And He says, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance to all men that He hath raised Him from the dead. And you know, God deserves the whole world to repent. The world may not.
Right.
But they're going to drink of the cup of the wrath of God for denying God, not only the fact that He is supreme, and He is. I mean, in Him we live, move, have our being. We want to live on this planet. We don't want to recognize He made it. We want to breathe the air. And we want to somehow say we evolved. We're just in denial. And we want water to drink, want food to eat, and we want God's blessing, but we don't want to acknowledge Him as God.
Right.
Like Sister Bonnie said, God's had enough of that. Verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Yeah.
What's that mean? Way of the kings of the east. Does anybody know who lives out in the east? China.
Yeah, sure enough.
And unknown, but it can be known. China has secretly been making a road to the river Euphrates.
Yeah.
They're paying for it. Ain't cost nobody a penny. They're making a huge highway from China to the Euphrates River because they're going to come against Israel and Russia's going to join them. And I don't know who all else, but they're going to come down on Israel, but they're getting ready.
Yeah,
it's that close.
Yeah.
They're making a highway. They're paying for it. They're not charging no one for this highway. And this highway is designed to bring weapons of war to the brink of the river Euphrates. You say the Bible's not true? Look it up. This verse says that God Himself is going to dry up that great river Euphrates. Why? That the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Right.
Now that's kind of truth and prophecy in one verse. They're making the road right now. And God's going to dry that river up. And that's 6 miles. We got 7. Before we get to that 7th one, it said, and I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
Yeah.
I was listening to, I go brain dead trying to remember people's names. Jeff Fugate, he's talking about that he had a burden for people in jails and prisons.
Yeah.
And it is really hard, I've been in there myself, it's really hard to get into jail. You'd think it wouldn't be that hard, but it is. And it's really hard to get access to those men and women in there. And I have been in there through Rock of Ages Prison Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in there through Tim Berry and Tim Shirley. They've got a jail ministry. But anyway, Jeff Fugate was trying to get into the jail, and the jailer really liked him. And in an effort to get him in there, Sister Vonnie, he made him an assistant. I think he said he made him assistant deputy or something like that. But by making him that, it gave him access to the prisoners in there, and he would go in there and reason with them out of the scriptures and try to tell them about the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and all of that. And there was one guy way back there in the back that was in a cell all by himself, and it was kind of like in confinement, kind of like one of those holes, I guess you could say. And he never got to see this man. And he asked about this man in his cell, and they told him that he'd murdered this woman. And the man that was in the cell requested for Jeff Fugate to come and talk with him. And Jeff Fugate went and had access, went in there and talked to this guy. And the guy said, "It is true about the woman being killed, but," he said, "I want you to know I didn't do it." He said, "There's a man living inside me, and he, through me, killed her." I believe that. You know, I've never killed nobody in my life. But I've often wondered, how could you, in your right mind, kill someone?
Right.
And I got to thinking about this verse right here. And I hope you give real earnest to what I'm saying here. I'm glad I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm glad he done took up residence. There ain't no room for nothing else. But he said, verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits." Verse 14, "For they are the spirits of devils." I don't want no spirit or no devil.
No.
Bible said the devil come but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I don't know how much y'all watch about the news. I shouldn't watch as much of it as I do. But there are people doing unthinkable things to people right now. I can't even fathom.
That's right.
How they could do some of the things. I mean, they found a woman's legs in a dumpster. They found children been stabbed 50 sometimes. Wow. Throats slit. Hell, it was their mother that done it. How could anyone do that? I'll tell you how. Through the spirit of the devil, those unclean spirits, if one ever enters into you, you will never be the same.
That's right.
I'm glad I had somewhat of that before I got saved. I done things I was ashamed of. Maybe you did, I don't know. I done things I was ashamed of. I know why I done them. I had that spirit in that bottle.
Yeah.
Caused me to say things I shouldn't have said.
That's right.
Caused me to drive like I shouldn't have drove and do things I shouldn't have did. But, you know, it was in that bottle. Once I drunk that alcohol in that bottle, I wasn't the same man. It had a way with me, and I acted different. And, you know, a lot of people might use that for an excuse. But some of the stuff I've been reading and seeing on the news, it's hard to believe that anybody could get in that shape. Try to be real discreet right here. But he just called a young man, and real careful here. I'm glad they called him.
Bless him, God.
He's been raping elderly women. I mean, 60 to 70 years old. And beating them. In New York City. And the list, it's almost like a serial rapist. And something like 20-some women, every one of them elderly. And when they called him, he had an Asian woman, and he'd strip her completely naked, and they arrested him in the act. You'll probably still get off scot-free. But I just want you to know that's not normal. Mm-hmm. Nothing about that makes any sense. This boy was about 20-something, 23, I think. And he's opened up his heart to something of Satan. Because that's not of God. That's of the devil to treat anyone like that. You know, all these women have been put in the hospital. I mean, they were severely beaten. And just terrible to even think about anyone treating anybody like that. And I doubt they'll even do anything to him. I really do. That's how far-fetched we've come from where we should be. But these unclean spirits, these spirits of devils, they'll be really working while all of these vials are going on. All this suffering's going on. All this cursing and gnawing of tongues and pains. These devils, they're going to be really active. And if you'll notice, verse 14 says that those spirits are going to enter into the kings of the earth. And I'm kind of concerned about our leaders. I don't know if they've lost their mind, off course or what, but some of the stuff they're doing, I'm just wondering where it's coming from. You know what I mean? The devil's going to steer the leaders of the world, of the earth, says the whole world, and he's going to gather them to a battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, we finished chapter 14 talking about the battle of Armageddon, talking about the blood's going to run to the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's 970,200 feet. That's just like a lake of blood. Well, like I said, Revelation kind of repeats itself. We're just going into greater detail. And what reason I said that, verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. They're not going to go no further than that, but I'll tell you how they got there. They got there by unclean spirits and spirits of devils. And you know what? They're not going to win, but they're going to think they're going to win. And they're going to find out they're no match for the one that inhabits eternity. Verse 17 says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were on the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great that the great city was divided into three parts and the cities of the nations fell. And I was watching some of that news coverage of the Palestinian, whatever you want to call it, and their buildings falling from the returning fire from Israel, where they sent all of the missiles towards Israel. They kind of bit off more than they could chew, and Israel showed up with great force, took that media building down. I think there were 10 people in that building. They said Hamas was using that media building to forward their agenda, and they brought that building down. I seen this morning even more buildings falling down. Well, that's them and Israel returning fire. But this is going to be God. And it said, and the cities of the nations fell. That means, buddy, they went down just like it was on that video on TV. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail and for the great thereof. Wherefore the plague thereof was exceeding great. Let me see, I'm just in my mind real faint here, but I want to look real quick. In Psalms chapter 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the fountains also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. And you know, God, when he rises up, buddy, verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent his arrows and scattered them, and lightnings and discomforted them. The channels of the waters were seen, the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. You know, God, he can cause quite a calamity. And it says every island fled away. They're gone. You know, these people buying these islands, building these big mansions on them. They better hope they ain't there when this happens, because every island's gone. Mountains not found. I mean, buddy, this is quite a calamity. God's raised up, like Sister Bonnie said, he's had enough. Playtime's over. Kind of like he told Israel, prepare to meet thy God. They're on a head-on course of judgment. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone, about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. See where we're at here. You know, I'm probably going to stop right there. But you know, God is not playing in this judgment, and the world is going to drink of this wrath. They're going to pay the price for their rebellion, for their unwillingness to let Him be God. You know, I was like that. I wouldn't let Him be God. I thought I was God, or my own God. And you know, I had the mind of this world, not the mind of Christ. And you know, I talked like the world, smelled like the world, done like the world. But I'm glad, praise God, now I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm glad He made a difference in me. I sleep better. Man, I sleep good. He giveth His beloved sleep. My wife, Bonnie, she said, I wish I could sleep like you. I said, honey, just get right with God. It's a package deal, and it doth run out the door. But you know what? God has the power to give you sleep. He also said, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I was wicked. I was taking everything. I tried anything to go to sleep. You know, they got all these things to help you sleep. I play in water over here and birds singing and all. None of that seemed to work. But I tell you what, buddy, when I got saved, got right with God, all of a sudden I got all the sleep. I'm sleep standing up. I could actually sleep talking to people. That's a blessing, really. People pay big money. Michael Jackson,
you know who that is,
paid a doctor,
Penny,
I don't know how many $1 million. He said, I've got to have some sleep. And that doctor gave him all the sleep he wanted and then some. He died. He never did come back. I mean, he went to Neverland. He got a place called Neverland. He went to Neverland. He's no more. King of Pop, he's gone.
Yeah.
What he want, buddy? He wanted to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, if he knew who I knew, he could have slept.
Yeah, true.
You see what I mean? I just want you to know this ain't some fairy tale. This is something you ought to really think about. Yeah. You can have God. You can have peace. You can have everything that you need in this life if you just go to the right one for it. Now, there's some people, they go to the drug dealer and say, I don't care, I just want to feel good. Hey, I feel pretty good. I really bothered me out there at work, Brother Ed, when they had a drug test.
Yeah.
I told them, I said, look, I'm not going to pass. They said, you're kidding me. I said, I've been high on Jesus about 20-some years. I'm not going to pass.
There you go.
I meant it, too.
That's right.
Scared them to death. I said, I think I might OD on him. I ain't sure. My mama called me a fanatic. And it's still true. But I remember Pat Harlow out there, Laura Donnelly. She said, you're kidding me. You don't think you can pass? I said, I know I can't pass. I've been high on Jesus. And she's about half mad, about half laughed too. But you know, they didn't like that name out there. But they got used to it because I never did let up on them. But you can have peace like an ocean. You can have prosperity. You can have the blessings of God that can't be numbered for multitude if you'll just get off your high horse and humble yourself before the God of heaven and say, I am sorry. I want to surrender my will to your will. What's God's will? The Bible said He's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. You may not repent, but it's God's will. He wants to forgive you.
Right.
He wants to welcome you into His family. He wants to give you an inheritance. You know, my kids, well, I've just got one left. My kids, I guess they're probably looking forward to the day old dad kicks a bucket. I'm worth $500,000 dead, and they ain't got no chance of ever getting no other way, so I guess they're probably saying, he sure ain't going to live too long. I'm going to outlive him. I don't know.
That's right.
Just don't know. I thought Donnie was dead the other day. I tried to call him. I tried to call him that night. No answer. And I thought, well, he may have went to bed early. I tried to call him next morning. No answer. I seen him a text. No answer. So I go over. I said, he's dead. Both cars left. I said, he's dead. I thought he had done left and wanted to get a haircut. He done told me he's going to get a haircut on Saturday. And I pulled in his driveway near both cars. I said, no doubt he's dead. I got the keys to his house up. Started to unlock the door, and he showed up. Said, "What's going on?" I said, "I thought you was dead." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I done called you 2 or 3 times, texted him." He said, "You ain't called me." Picked up the phone. He said, "Well, you did, but it didn't make no noise." They finally figured out he had on mute. But I did. I thought Donnie was dead. I thought, well, oh my,
boy, you ain't gone to heaven left.
I thought, well, I'm gonna have to bury my brother.
I got there first.
I'm gonna have to bury my brother. Have to try to make up some stuff about him. Say he's a pretty good old boy. But sure enough, I thought Donnie was dead, but he showed up alive. And it won't be long. It'll happen to all of us.
Amen, brother.
But we'll stop right there and get ready for the singing and the preaching service. But that Revelation chapter 16, I'm glad I ain't going to be here when that takes place. Amen. God haven't provided some better thing for us. I'll be kicking up gold dust. Hey, I'll be having my youth renewed like the eagle. Hey, I'll never feel so good as I will when I get home. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.